This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Blackout 2.0 is back and bigger, bolder, and more breathtaking than ever. It's returning to the Yeramboy Festival after winning the Green Room Award for Best Outstanding Ensemble. This groundbreaking global cabaret weaves together storytelling, movement, music, ballroom culture, and First Nations brilliance from the heart of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities to the opulence of Southeast Asia, the Pacific, and the ballroom scene of Harlem, New York. It's on for two nights only at the Malthouse Theatre, and joining us now to talk all things Blackout is the iconic Ella herself. Welcome to Joy Drive, Ella Gunza.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
What inspired Blackout 2.0 and how does it build on the first iteration?
Yeah, great question. So basically, Blackout for us was just an opportunity to platform, our stories in ways specifically, coming from marginalized communities. The House of Alexander, we are in an interesting intersection of, what it means to be queer, but what it also means to be Indigenous to our land, navigating in a world that is, systematically not built for us. And so we explore, our identities through many different disciplines. It's a journey.
Yeah, all those different art forms. I was just reading about it on the website. I was like, this looks like an incredible show. The program features multiple artists. How did you approach bringing their unique voices into this one space?
Well, all of the artists that are in the cast are actually a part of the House of Alexander. So I think one thing to also point out is that in ballroom culture, a house serves as a chosen family too. So although individually there are a lot of artists, we actually are also a family outside of, our profession, if that makes sense.
And I guess how does that work? Like, if you're all a family together, do you have those the creative differences that come to play as well, and having to negotiate that as the director? Like, how does that work for you, and how does that work as
part of the show? You know what? Yeah, there's definitely those moments, whether everyone agrees. But, I think another note to mention is I'm also the mother of the house. So I feel like the respect is also there too. So although I don't abuse this power as a mother, I try to find that fine balance between, directing but also mothering as well. So I feel like there's that respect in terms of, artistic approach, but also that respect that, I'm not going to, accept bratty behavior at the same time as a mother.
Yeah, you put them into line like a good mother, yes.
Absolutely, without being a stage mom.
Yeah. If we were to go along to the show, what sorts of things would we expect to see at Blackout 2.0?
Yeah, so you're going to expect to see poetry, you're going to expect to see fashion, high intensity, dance movement. You're going to be experiencing, Indigenous art forms as well. And it's a great show that really fuses all of those practices and disciplines. A lot of us are, diaspora, born and raised. So that yearning of and also fusing, our identities in terms of our art forms is pretty much what the show entails.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds fabulous. I mean, it's only on for two nights, so it's going to be really, really tricky, I imagine, to get some tickets there. Back to it, I'm chatting with the incredible Ella Gunza, director of Blackout 2.0, part of this year's Yeramboy Festival. It's a vibrant, genre-defying celebration of queer culture, identity and storytelling from First Nations and global communities, all coming together on stage on May the 2nd and 3rd at the Malthouse Theatre. Ella, how do you hope queer and First Nations audiences in particular will connect with the work?
Well, I think the main thing is when you see your community on stage and on screen or represented, you feel this automatic connection. So I think that there's definitely going to be that present, but also, you know, telling, you know, realistic stories that, you know, that are relatable to Indigenous, queer and POC communities. You know, it's very nuanced in our understanding and our upbringing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what this show is for. It's for our community, first and foremost. There, like I said, there are going to be things that are nuanced that only our community will understand.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving, you know, this piece of work, is because ideally, you know, there needs to be, you know, our stories need to be told as well. It's, you know, one thing that we barely see enough Indigenous, let alone queer, POC, Indigenous led and centered opportunities to platform, you know, our community.
Absolutely. And it's such a, yeah, and as you were saying, it's so rare to see that, that this is such a unique and special event to not only celebrate, but to develop non-First Nations and queer people's understanding around this aspect of our community.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And I've got a question for you. Like, this is a bit of a personal question. Can you share a moment in rehearsals that you think that really moved or surprised you?
I think it's the journey, you know, because, you know, as artists, you know, a lot of it, of what we put on stage and even when we are in the room, in the space, when we create, comes from a deep place. And some of these numbers are from, you know, it's quite, we're centering some of the darkest moments in our lives, you know. It can be somewhat, you know, diving into some of the traumatic moments, you know, for a lot of us, specifically the trans women of color, there have been moments that, you know, we're dedicating a number specifically to the existence of trans people, specifically trans women of color that have pioneered so much, you know, that exists today, like with pop culture and all that. And it's also a love letter to, you know, all of us, our trans community. You know, everything that's going on in the world right now, this is, you know, a reminder and a letter to our community to, like, you know, we need to persevere, we need to come together, and we need to, you know. And so there have already been moments where we've been a bit teary, and it's hard to separate the emotions from, you know, performing, but it's hard because behind the performance is also, you know, real people going through real things. So
yeah, they're the performers are investing themselves into the art form and into the work that's being presented to the audience.
Yeah, and that can take a toll, you know. But yeah, that's been a moment, and I'm really looking forward for our community to see that specific number.
Well, speaking of that, how can people get tickets to this?
Yeah, so if you just go onto the Urine Boy Festival website, it's part of the program, which is an Indigenous-led festival, and you just search up, you'll see Blackout 2.0 in big, bold writing. So, head on to the Urine Boy Festival website, and you'll be able to purchase your tickets there.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ella. It's been great to chat with you.
No worries. Thank you for your time, and hopefully see you there.
That was the dazzling Ella Ganza, director of Blackout 2.0, part of this year's Urine Boy Festival. You can catch this unmissable showcase of queer excellence, cultural pride and powerful storytelling on May the 2nd and 3rd at the Malthouse Theatre. Head to urineboy.com.au for details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.